Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, life these days is all about perspective. We've been talking about it a lot on the show this week. Just allowing yourself to find time to, you know, reset and relax, which is why I have a little bit of a rest every Friday around this time. And I make two guests give me their perspective on stuff you guys called and texted me about since Monday. It's called...
Friends.
Just friends.
There we go. It's called Jen's Friends. We do it every single week. And this week, my friends are Amy Huberman and Norma Sheen. Good morning.
Good morning, friends.
How are you, friends?
We're good.
How are
you? Good. I'm sick of looking at you, Amy Huberman.
Sick. I'm sorry. But you asked me in.
This is very true. It's great to see us. We've lots to get through. Oh, it was all kicking off this week on the show. I want to start with what we were talking about on Monday. Right. So on Monday, we heard from listeners who had been told lies to shut them up as kids. Right. None really as bad as me telling my daughter she owned a horse when she was three. So we used to go to these stables. Lou's friend, he had loads of horses. And I put her on a horse when she was three and she loved it. And we're like, Ziggy, that's your horse. And it stuck with her. So 2 weeks ago, I had to tell her, because she was telling all her friends she had a pony in Wicklow. I had to tell her, you don't actually own a horse. First of all, it'd be dead if it was your horse because we haven't seen it in 2 years. And second of all, we can't afford that. And third of all, it's just a flipping thing I said. And she kind of clung to it. But I want to know, Amy, do you remember being told any weird things to kind of shut you up as
a
kid?
Yes, exactly that. So there was a lovely janitor who worked in our junior school and we all loved him. He was just the guy who sorted everything out. But when we were, you know, when you were running through the corridors after, you know, going to yard, he used to tell us to be quiet because the babies in the attic were asleep.
Sorry, what?
That's not terrifying.
In the school, there was babies.
In the school.
Was it a Magdalene Laundry?
Ireland in whatever. No, it was the 80s. But
did you believe it? Did you believe it?
I don't know if I did when I grew up, but I did. I was. It stuck in my head, and I just didn't want to run the risk of waking them up. But it was. I really enjoyed junior school. Apart from that,
yes. Apart from that, Norma, you've definitely lied to your children.
I've lied to mine. I told them the TV doesn't work till after 6 p.m. and they believed it until about 8 or 9. It was brilliant.
That is really good.
And the other, sorry, there was one other one.
On.
I also told them that going swimming was like going to school. It was compulsory, and the government would come down on you if you didn't. So they had to go to the blue pool with the verrucas every week. Until they realised that wasn't compulsory.
I like the TV thing because obviously we're talking off air. This break from a cyber break is taking place today. Mm. I know you guys are all over this in your household. 24 hours from 5 o'clock. That's a good thing to do. Say, you know, across the nation, every television will be switched off by the government.
Or the government is coming for you.
Pretend.
And people with younger kids can turn off their Wi-Fi at a particular time as well. They're all over that. But my kids are a bit old and they're teenagers. So
what do you got? Could you do that? Could you get them to get off their devices? And how would you do that?
They don't listen to me or talk to me. They're reared. They're 12, 15 and 15. Like, I beg them, can I come into the room and take your dirty underwear? Like, it's
You're
we've moved
that
to
stage.
That stage. So maybe they'll give me a device. But I probably have to pay them.
Okay. Money.
Money.
Yeah, bribery. That always works with that age. On Wednesday, we chatted about really kind of just hippie, dippy crystals, tarot cards, that kind of stuff. Salt lamps. Do either of you have a Himalayan salt lamp like Graham out there?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't plug it in, but it's there.
All right.
But I did break a mirror this morning, so I'm cursed. I'd be pretty superstitious. I mean,
how did you do that?
I literally dropped it, which doesn't work well for mirrors. I was putting on my makeup to come in to see you.
Yeah, my fault.
So it's your fault.
It's my fault. So you've broken a mirror. Okay, now in the back of your head, you're thinking this is going to be a terrible
day. It's not
day.
Ideal. Yeah, it's not ideal. And it's lashing rain and I have to hang out with you. It's not going great.
It wasn't the big mirror in your hall that you do the lovely pictures in. It wasn't the big one.
No, I didn't move around to do my makeup. No, it was anyway, it's broken.
That's
broken.
All right. That doesn't count.
But I do have a Himalayan salt lamp. I do like, my mum gave me, you know, the crystals for creativity and stuff. I don't know if I really believe in them, but even if it's placebo, I like them. And you're meant to charge them out under the moon. Do you know that?
That's, I don't think it's, I don't think it's charging. I think it's cleansing. We had a caller who educated me. You have to, any crystal you get, you have to wash wash them of their negativity. So you have to run them under, put them under running water for a few minutes, waste of water. And then, or you can put them out at nighttime and let the moon cleanse them.
Okay, well, could you ask her a question for me? Because I must be riddled with negativity. I had one of the salt lamps and it dissolved in my presence. It like, it just dissolved and dripped down the side in little stalactites.
So you think you're cursed?
Well, it just, it faded away on
me. Would you go in for readings or any of that kind of stuff?
I probably would, but I don't have the time.
Right.
I think you have to be kind of really needy and at a crossroads.
I've
to
definitely
do that.
Done that a lot.
I've thought about it, but I'm not brave enough because I think that, well, you could never go for one, Amy. They just Google you and tell you everything about yourself. You know what I mean?
I've been quite a few times.
Oh, and she thinks they were telling the truth, God love her.
I'll tell them nothing.
They can be a great comfort to a lot of people. They can
I
be
think
a great
if you're
comfort.
Going and looking for big answers, I don't know, there's a huge weight you put on it, but anytime I've gone, it has kind of been for fun. And I always start with, I don't want to hear the bad stuff. Yeah. That's how I live life.
Yeah.
Don't tell me the bad stuff. And then it's fun. Like, you know, things, I don't know, that, and a lot of the stuff has happened. I remember some guy telling me that I was going to get a job in the next 5 to 6 weeks and I did. And it was really specific.
Oh,
that's not specific.
Hang on.
That's likely.
I'm going to shut this down because I worked as a fortune teller for a day in the RDS. Accenture or Arthur, whatever, they were doing a day for getting employees motivated and they reached out to agents. Anyone got a fortune teller? I said, absolutely. They were paying me a load of money. Turned up. So I thought they meant dress up as a fortune teller. So I brought all my rags. I'm there with the, you know, brought nothing else, only my rags. And they presented me with tea leaves and cards and everything.
They thought you were...
They thought I was... So I said nothing. Went off to the toilet, read the instructions out of the cards, made the tea. And there was a queue out my door for the entire day. And I was the last stall to shut that day. Because
people love it.
They came back for more and more and more.
People love it. And I just made is that the weirdest job you've ever
that
done?
That is the weirdest job, actually. I just remembered it there. Yeah.
What about essential oils? How did that work out for your dad, Norma?
Oh, I unfortunately gave him echinacea because I thought it'd be good for him. And I said 20 drops and a bit of water. But he got mixed up between the echinacea little bottle and the tea tree next to it that my mother was using for something else. And he started having 20 drops of tea tree and water every day. And he rang me, this echinacea stuff is burning the mouth off me. Are you sure it's good for me? And I was like, no, Dad, it should be fine. We'll go over and read the bottle. And he says, yeah, it says tea tree on it. I was like, oh, God. Anyway, he didn't get sick for
cleanest
a long time.
Stomach in Ireland.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of damage there, Norma.
He's still alive.
Okay, that's good. Yesterday we got texts about what happened to our teenage bedrooms after we moved out. Well, you can imagine what happened to mine. I was given a suitcase on my 18th birthday. My mum was like, there you go, happy birthday. Here's a big, massive suitcase.
Did you clear the room?
No, I moved to America for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But when I got back, I think she turned it into a wardrobe.
Did she keep your stuff?
She kept my... Well, not really. I didn't have a lot of stuff to begin with. I kind of took a lot of stuff with me. But it was... I didn't have one of those houses that you... You know, there was a shrine to anybody who... You know what I mean?
You have about 10 siblings, don't you?
We have too many.
Yeah.
There's too many of us. But
yeah.
Norma, you're not a hoarder. But does any of your... past life... Does it still exist in your house? Is there any bits of you around the family home?
No, my mother threw us all out at 17. We weren't allowed to put cork on the CAO forms, so we had to go. And
okay,
just,
she wanted you that
and
far away.
There was nothing, no memory of us when we came back.
A sign that you were ever there.
No, except for my youngest sister. She minded her all right. She was the last. She knew she was the last of the tribe.
Are you dying to get your kids out? So do you have plans for their bedrooms?
I do.
I
they're
fantasize.
Being raised in South County Dublin, and I do think they need a good injection of Galway or
the
somewhere.
North side.
They do. Oh yeah, anywhere.
Anywhere else.
But she has a... Pass this over to Amy. She has a problem with bedrooms. Like her
Sorry,
mother
what?
Struggled, was traumatised trying to get her out of the house.
Trying to get you out?
No, I was. No, my stuff. I had moved out and... And then she was like, please take your stuff. Please take your stuff. I was like, I don't have room. I was living in, you know, flats and apartments around the place and living in London. But when I did move in with my now husband, she was like, finally rang him and said, get her to take her stuff. And now he's still going, Amy, there's Bon Jovi CDs in our shed.
Still. You're a bit of a hoarder.
Yes. And sentimental about stuff. I'm like, but that is, those Bon Jovi years were important to me.
Yeah.
I can't just say that. I need
How
to have
How are you
CD.
Even friends? Like you, I imagine you throw everything out. You don't keep anything.
Well,
like,
she has brought in an Oxfam bag for me today of clothes.
So she
does
take them.
She does throw out.
Sell them
you're
off.
Too tall. I'm having them. She's just, she gives me the odd thing.
Is it very hard for you to throw away? Like, what kind of stuff are we talking?
I'm really sentimental. Not about my own stuff. Like, when we go home, my mum has kept really random stuff, like shoes that I can't even remember ever wearing. You know, like the little buckle shoes that look like you were raised in the 1890s. Aww. And like those old fashioned teddies that I don't even look, that look a bit creepy. More those. It's like, who are these children? But I keep so much of my own kids' stuff, too much, way too much. And I'm like, the attic, let's put it in the attic. I'm sentimental.
Do you pick every art picture that's brought home from school?
Yeah, and I framed stuff that I look back on now and go, that's not great.
When your kids bring home drawings,
you keep one in 10. One in 10. And then you go one, the next time you go through it, it's one in 10 again. One in 10, one in 10.
I had a caller on weeks ago who had her whole house covered. She would not throw a single thing out. She just covered the walls in it. I was like,
she needs help.
Yeah. Isn't that an awful moment when your kid finds their drawing in the bin and comes to you and
that
goes,
you did it?
An awful lot.
An awful lot.
I give them a lifespan. I'm saying, it's time to go to another child now. It's time to recycle, because it's just like, they're not great until they get to about 10, I would say.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. No, it's not great. But as well, it just mounts up. But and you just kind of leave it around the kitchen for like a day or two and go, keep going, oh, wow.
Yeah, one of mine wanted to keep her hockey shoes, and they're worse than Gash shoes now. Hockey shoes that were old and too small because she wore them in a cup final year or whatever. They're in a box out the back of the garden.
The start of Amy territory. You want to nip that in the bud, or you'll be thrown at her. You'll be holding on to those things.
Leave it out for a while.
Okay.
It's in transition. If she doesn't ask for it in the next few weeks, it's gone.
Okay. Let's talk about what we're... on Monday, right? We'll go back to Monday. We discussed how slagging in Ireland is really kind of a term of affection. It's a term of endearment. And
you big idiot.
Yeah. I know. We're always being slagged over different things, and we've been given these names. A caller was on talking about her sister is still slagger about having tiny boobs. Still. Do you remember any nicknames from school, Amy? Did anybody call you anything that kind of stuck with you? I was called cow eyes because apparently my eyes are so far apart.
From the girls in your class?
Ah, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Any names that stuck?
I mean, this is just a bit random and a bit gross, because I was saying to Norma yesterday that, like, I thought girls were kinder to
each other.
And then she said no. Like, for years, it's a bit gross. Did anyone do biology? Amylase is one of the enzymes in
is
saliva.
Is that amylase? That was my name. Amylase.
That was it.
Amylase.
That was
me.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was called plenty more behind my back, but
Amylase.
I did not. I was blissfully unaware, hiding in all my hoarding
insipid.
Stuff.
That's not a name. I was called pube head.
Oh, whoa.
Because between the age of 13 and 17, my hair just looked like a big bush, like spirally pubes, and not even like a cool groomed afro.
Was this people in school, or was this your family?
No, the girls in school. Pube head, Norma nose, because I do have a big honker, but like, don't tell me about it. I can't see it.
A lovely nose.
Sure. And the other one was tomato face. Tomato face.
You've got a lot going on there. Are you okay?
No. Oh my God, Jen, it's so good to be here.
Well, listen, I have a big fat outro here because you two are so, so busy. So let's get to it. Congratulations, I have to say. You've been nominated for the On Pulse Irish Book of the Year.
Yay!
Incredible.
Thank you so much. Well, for the Irish, for Children's Book of the Year. So yeah, we had the big celebration and nice moment was last night in the GPO. So that was great.
Amazing.
So you have to vote. Actually, this is the thing which I didn't realise. The people have to vote. So vote, vote, please. And go to onpost.ie.
Did you think the book would be as successful as it's doing so well?
Listen, I think with all things, I'm just always relieved to get to the end and it's a finished thing. I never think beforehand.
Okay.
And actually, really genuinely. So it's been a really lovely couple of weeks. I'm really proud of the book. It's been a journey that I didn't really even think about starting it. So yeah, I am proud, because it was tough to get to the end of that, just with with this year and everything in it. But
I've got like three kids at home. One is a baby. I don't know how your mind gets around a book and writing scripts.
Yeah,
you are a freak.
I know, but
it
took me a long time.
That's a lovely thing,
isn't it? There you go. So I thought Amy Lace was the worst of it. Freak.
You're a freak. Just to remind people the age it's for.
So it's 8+ to 12. So
okay.
Yeah.
8 to 12.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the, cyber break, 24 hours, stick a book in their hand.
Go to the bookshops today. Get The Day I Got Trapped in My Brain. Hopefully it will make you laugh and cry. And vote for the book. And if you've enjoyed it, please do, because I'd really appreciate your support.
And I did hear some great advice once. If you want to get your kids into reading at an early age, just leave books kind of dotted around the house. Just kind of leave them there.
Even start with the catalogues, because they just gets them into that thing of, and then
What's she talking
being
about?
Off the screen.
You mean like the
Smith's
catalogue?
She's selling her book. And you, are you doing two plays at the minute?
Yeah, so tomorrow, Shirley Valentine in Bray, there's a couple of seats left. And then it's going to the Gaiety in the new year, in January, back in the Gaiety. And then the other one is Matchmaker with John Kinney from Dunbelievable's Spiegeltent Wexford this Tuesday, a couple of seats left. And then we're going on to Roscommon, Kilkenny, other places, yes.
And if people want to get tickets to Shirley and Bray, where do they go?
The Mermaid, Bray.
The Mermaid, like everybody knows. Mermaid Theatre, I have to ask you, people are like, oh, I want to get tickets for that. Where do they go? And then they forget and then they don't do it. Go and see her.
I've seen them both. They're brilliant and hilarious and she's amazing.
I know. She's amazing. It's annoying.
Oh, thank you, girls.
It's annoying how brilliant you are. How brilliant you both are. That was a big love in, wasn't it?
That, yeah,
I am. That I'm just winging this completely. Thank you for being my friends this week. Always a pleasure.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.